Welcome to Manitoba Moments, discussions in physiotherapy. The College of Physiotherapists of Manitoba regulates the practice of physiotherapy in Manitoba. Our mission is to ensure that the public receives safe, competent physiotherapy care from qualified physiotherapists. This podcast will address the topics pertinent to physiotherapists practicing in Manitoba, based on our legislation and standards of practice.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, whenever you are tuning in, and welcome to the College of Physiotherapists of Manitoba podcast. Today's podcast is called, If It Wasn't Written Down, Did It Happen? My name is Brooklyn Meeklejohn, and I am a second-year Master of Physical Therapy student at the University of Manitoba. I am joined by my classmate Ryan Crocker, also a second-year Master of Physical Therapy student.
Hi, everyone.
We are very excited to be on here today talking about all things charting. Record-keeping is one of the most valuable and important aspects of the job and is considered an essential legal component with the main purpose of managing information relevant to the client's care. The CPM, or College of Physiotherapists of Manitoba, practice directions state that maintaining records is essential for enhancing client outcomes, facilitating the smooth transfer of client care to other providers, and documenting the management of physiotherapy practice. Records help to ensure continuity of care and maintain multiple health conditions by multiple providers. Ensuring proper record keeping is an essential competency for physiotherapists in Canada. It is also an important component of protection of the public, which is the mandate of the college. So, Ryan, why do you think charting can be an issue for physiotherapists?
I think something commonly heard is that charting is very time-consuming, and after a long day, sometimes it's easy to brush off or rush through it because of the caseload demands. Sometimes this can cause components of a complete chart note to be missing.
It's funny that you say that, because I was reading an article called I Think It, But Don't Often Write It, The Barriers to Charting in Private Practice. It discusses different barriers that physiotherapists experience working in private practice when it comes to charting. Physiotherapists acknowledge the clinical value of charting. However, it seems that a lack of enthusiasm is consistently expressed regarding charting. Some of the barriers described in the article include a disconnect between the therapist's thoughts and what they include in a chart note, the translation of impairment to functional goals, a fear of failing, a lack of time, including difficulties predicting the time for treatment, and knowing how much time to allocate for charting at the end of an appointment.
That's interesting.
Understanding these barriers is necessary to make improvements in the quality of your charting. The College of Physiotherapists of Manitoba practice direction, titled Record Keeping, currently lists a variety of important aspects of charting and even has a record keeping checklist at the end of the document for your convenience.
What are some of the things on that list?
Some of examples of things to include in your chart are identification of the patient and the providers, information such as informed consent, signatures, dates, patient demographics, relevant history, so for example, family and social history, information on providers for referrals where appropriate, assessments performed and the results, physiotherapy analysis, treatment goals, treatment plan, and treatment provided. Specifically, when a discharge note is relevant, it is important to include the reason for discharge, the status at discharge, date of discharge, and other appropriate details. More information on record keeping or documentation expectations can be found on the college website. Now, Ryan, I know there was an interesting case that you were looking at that ties in nicely with this topic. Do you want to tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, we'll be now talking about a case study and breaking down what the physical therapist could have done differently. The physiotherapist is being questioned if the standards of care were met for the patient. One of the proven allegations was that the physiotherapist failed to complete documentation after an initial assessment and create a treatment plan. What do you think of this, Brooklyn?
Well, as you know, if you didn't document it, did it really happen? I think there's a lot of room for improvement.
After initial assessment of the patient, contemporary items can be documented. Items that can be documented include informed consent, patient demographics, family past medical history, objective measurement such as strength or range of motion, living situation, medications, diagnosis, chief complaints, therapist judgment, so that includes status, precautions or contraindications, patient goals, care plans to reach goals, treatment plan, responses to treatment, and any interaction with the patient or family member that is noteworthy. This documentation allows physiotherapists to create a baseline for their patients, guides their treatment, and tracks improvement toward the patient's discharge goals. The initial documentation of an assessment is critical because it dictates how therapy interventions will occur. Another proven allegation against the physiotherapist was not reassessing findings throughout the treatment, performing an adequate intervention, and documenting properly.
It's definitely important to document an initial assessment and all the findings to dictate how future interactions will go.
A plan of care, according to the CPM, is a plan intervention to reach the goals of the patient. It should include expected outcomes, length of time anticipated to reach goals, and any collaboration with healthcare professionals. The physiotherapist failed to reevaluate his care plan throughout his treatment, which led to spending too much time counseling and not enough time addressing the patient that was suffering from pain. By not following the guidelines of their college, they were unable to help the patient reach their goals, and it resulted in a complaint being directed towards them with serious repercussions. What the therapist should have done differently to avoid disciplinary action is to complete initial documentation so they could evaluate the patient's progress and revise their plan. The final proven allegation we will discuss is a failure to collaborate with other healthcare professionals.
So what were the consequences of this physiotherapist's actions?
The physiotherapist failed to confirm the weight-bearing status of their patient and refer them to a chronic pain clinic. Expectations of a complete care plan, according to the CPM, is consulting and collaborating with other healthcare professionals. By not referring the patients to other healthcare professionals for help, it negatively impacted the patient by putting them at risk for possibly re-injuring themselves. This lack of collaboration led to a complaint because the patient's pain was not addressed properly. The physiotherapist had to pay a large fine, complete coursework, and have charts audited because of their action. What are your thoughts on this, Brooklyn?
I think there's a lot of room for improvement, but mainly I think this highlights the importance of interprofessional care and knowing when is an appropriate time to make referrals in our patient's best interest.
Lastly, I would like to leave our listeners with some tips on documentation. Physiotherapy chart notes are the most important piece of evidence of what transpired with the patient. It can be your best defense or worst witness. Quantifiable information is preferred because subjective information is open to interpretation. When possible, use quotations of what patients said and document when patients do not follow recommendations. There have been cases of patients complaining due to poor outcomes despite not following recommendations, but still complaints occur. If a patient misses an appointment, that should be noted as well. Most importantly, ensure patients are informed of their diagnosis, prognosis, treatment, and risks, and the consent is obtained.
We hope that this discussion was informative and highlighted the importance of keeping a complete and accurate chart in all physiotherapy settings. Thank you for tuning in and listening to our podcast. If it wasn't written down, did it happen? Until next time.
The information presented in this podcast is not intended as legal advice. For more information, please go to the College of Physiotherapists of Manitoba website, or email us at info@manitobaphysio.com.